Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15. And we'll begin around verse 7 of Matthew chapter 15. And the subject for today, and I have two messages that I'm going to preach on this subject, just going through several passages of Scripture, has to do with issues of the heart. This is part one, issues of the heart. And I want us to consider some very, very vital issues. You know, the heart, the physical heart, is what we call one of the vital organs in the human body. And because if the heart doesn't pump the blood through the body, then the body dies. And it's pretty much the same with the spiritual heart. When God saves a sinner by his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that is said in the Scripture is that God gives that sinner a new heart. It's a heart transplant, you might say. Somebody called it years ago. I heard a preacher say it's radical spiritual surgery. And so we're going to talk about the heart. But now, what exactly in the Bible, Old Testament and New, is the heart? When it says the heart, let's look at some scripture here to begin with. And you know, this is the Lord himself talking to and about the religious generation that he confronted in his earthly walk, mainly the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And you understand now that these were men who everybody looked up to as the living examples, the perfect examples of what a right relationship with God is about, what religion should be about. These were men who appeared righteous outwardly to men. And there were all kinds of different ones. There were sincere ones. There were hypocritical ones, just like in religion today. But I want you to notice as you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that the Lord had his harshest words for religious people who were religious, but they had no truth. They didn't have the gospel of God's grace. They were ensconced in works salvation. Salvation by the works and the wills of men. And it was all their efforts. It was all about them. And he tells them here in verse 7, speaking to them, he reproves them. He says, "You hypocrites." Calls them hypocrites. And what a hypocrite is, you know, the word hypocrite is the same Greek word that would be used for an actor playing a role on a stage. And what he's saying is you're just acting out things and leading people to think that you're something or someone that you are really not. And he says in verse 7 of Matthew 15, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying..." Now listen, he says in verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth," that's what they say, "and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Their heart. Now, does that mean they were all insincere and all consciously playing a part, acting out something? I don't believe so. I believe it's like people today who are sincere in religion, who draw near with their mouth, praise the Lord, but their heart is far from God. And why is their heart far from God? Well, let's read on. He says, verse 9, and this is key now. Don't let this verse pass you by. He says in verse 9, but in vain, and you know what vain means. That means to no profit, to no good. But in vain, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, the state of their heart, their heart being far from him, the state of their heart was revealed because they taught wrong doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the teaching of the Scripture. So he said, they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, they don't teach the Word of God. They don't teach what God says. They can't say, thus saith the Lord, and be true about it. You know, if I tell you on this program, thus saith the Lord, I've got to back it up with the Word of God. I've got to show you where it is in the Bible. People today are religious. They claim to be Christian. But they don't know or don't believe the doctrines of God. We call them the doctrine of grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that the gospel, in Romans 1:16 and 17, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek or the Gentile also. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, are you familiar or do you know what the righteousness of God is in that verse? Because that's important. If you're teaching a gospel that is not a revelation of the righteousness of God, whatever that is now, according to Scripture, you're teaching the doctrines of men. And your heart's not right with God. But let me stop there and just give you this to think about. What exactly is the heart in the Bible? Well, when we think of the heart, we think about emotions, we do. We think about feelings. We think about intuition, what we might be inclined to do or not to do. Many people today, especially in Western culture, you know, in our country and in the Western philosophies, they look upon the heart as being almost anti-intellectual. And they'll talk about, well, you believe it, you know it in your head, but do you believe it in your heart? And I heard a preacher say one time about people who in false religion. He said, well, their doctrine is wrong, but their hearts are right with God. Well, that's impossible. The Bible will not back that up. So what is the heart in the Scripture? Well, it's not this physical organ. You know, I've heard people say that salvation is the difference in the difference between saved and lost is 12 inches. And what they're saying, they say from here to here. You might know it here, but do you believe it here? Well, here, that's a metaphor now. I can't believe anything from here. Everything I believe is in my mind. Now, I believe it sincerely. From the heart. Well, what is the heart? Now, listen to me real carefully. The heart in the Bible is the mind. It includes the affections, what you love, what you don't love, and the will. The mind, the affections, and the will. It includes the conscience. The conscience is the you might say it's like the courtroom of our mind. In other words, it's the place in your mind where you judge the difference between right and wrong. Back over in the book of Judges, it says that as an indictment against the people of Israel, it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, however they judged right and wrong, that's what they did. They didn't go by God's judgments. If you want to know the real difference between right and wrong, you've got to go to God's judgments, God's word, God's commandments. So that when we talk about salvation, for example, how is a sinner saved? On what ground? Upon what basis? Well, you can think in your own mind certain things that are wrong. Many, many, many people do. They preach a false gospel, a gospel that revolves around man's works and man's will. Free willism, see? That's not in the Bible. But now, how does God save sinners? What does He say? Well, He says that He saves sinners by His grace through the righteousness of God, which is found only in the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came. That's why He died. That's why He was buried. That's why He arose again the third day. The Bible knows nothing about an atonement or a salvation that is just an offer that's only successful if men accept it, or men and women accept it. So the heart is the mind, the affections, and the will. Well, look at verse 10 of Matthew 15. It says, "And He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand." Now, you know, in salvation, the Bible says God gives us an understanding. So there is knowledge, there's understanding, the mind, the intellect is involved. It doesn't mean that you have to be an Einstein to understand these things. These things are so simple that a little child can understand them. And you got to remember one thing about the gospel and salvation. Even though the preacher who preaches the true gospel to you is an instrument to communicate truth to your mind, it is God who really does the teaching if you learn it unto salvation. If you are truly brought by the truth unto salvation, it means God's given you a new heart. God's the one who taught you by the Holy Spirit. He may have used a poor, pitiful vessel like me to bring you the message, but it's God who saves. I can't save you. I can't persuade you into the kingdom of heaven. I can't argue you or debate you into it. I can't emotionally draw you to it. It's God who saves His people. That's what Christ said about His death on the cross. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto Me." That means drag. Well, how does He draw them? He changes their minds, their hearts. He gives them a new heart. So He says here, "Hear and understand." Look at verse 11. Now, here's something that they had to understand about sin. Sin is not just something you do or not do. It begins in the heart. It begins in the thoughts. He says, verse 11, "It's not that which goeth into the mouth, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man." In other words, not what you eat or drink and put in your mouth that defiles you. Now understand now, are there things that we shouldn't eat and drink? Well, sure. And whatever it is, even if the things that are lawful were to be temperate, we're to do things in moderation. But He needs you to understand. He needs us to understand that that's not what causes the sin. That's not the source of sin. If a man picks up a bottle of liquor and drinks it and gets drunk, it's not the drink that is the sinful part. It's the sinner who abused the drink. And He says, "But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." It's what He says. Now, in essence, you've got to keep the context here. In essence, what He's saying here has to be in line with the Pharisees and their doctrine, their teachings. They teach the doctrines of men. And that's what comes out of their mouth, their teaching. Verse 12. He says, "Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Well, sure they were offended. He called them hypocrites. In another passage, He called them poisonous snakes. He says, "You vipers." But verse 13, He says, "But He answered and said, Every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." God did not, He uses the metaphor of farming now. These Pharisees who were teaching a false gospel of work salvation, man's works, man's will, He said, God didn't plant these. They'll be rooted up. Satan planted them. And verse 14 says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind,
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
You see, the responsibility is not only on the one who preaches a false gospel, it's also on those who listen to him and follow him. And that's why you need to test the spirits, as John said in 1 John chapter 4. You need to, whenever you sit in a church service and hear a man preach or anybody preach, you need to test what they're telling you by the Word of God. And if they're truly God's servant, number one, they'll be preaching the truth of the gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, what is that righteousness? It's the merit, the value, the worth of the obedience and death of Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people. It's that message that tells us that the only way that my sins are forgiven is by the blood of Christ. It tells me that the only way that I stand in a right relationship with God is Christ's righteousness, imputed, charged, accounted to me. Now that's the gospel. Grace, Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel, now listen to me, and I don't want to offend people, but I know this, what I'm saying is, can be offensive, but that's okay. I'm doing it because I want to tell you the truth. For a preacher to stand up and tell everybody without exception, God loves you and Christ died for you, now the rest is up to you, that is the doctrines and commandments of men. That's a false gospel. That's what I'm telling you. Now, how do I know it? Because the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God shows us who Christ is, God manifest in the flesh, and what he accomplished on Calvary's tree when he died for the sins of his people. He put away their sins. That means that God cannot charge them with sin. God cannot send them to eternal damnation. They must be saved. They must be given life and brought to faith in Christ and repentance. They must be given a new heart. That's what this is all about. So he said, they're blind leaders of the blind, and they'll both fall into the ditch. Verse 15 now, Matthew 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Now, Christ was speaking in symbolic terms, and that's why it's called a parable. In verse 16, and Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Verse 17, do not yet ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, specifically, he's talking about the words that these Pharisees were preaching concerning a right relationship with God. And somebody says, well, how did he know that they were hypocrites? By what they said. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I can go around and tell you everybody who's saved and everybody who's lost. But the Bible teaches this now. If you want to know the state of the heart, the mind, the affections, the will, the understanding, the conscience, what you believe, what you don't believe, what you love, what you don't love, how you live. It has a lot to do with how you live. All right. How can I know the state of my own heart? Have I been given a new heart, or am I still the bearer, the carrier of a natural sinful heart? That's the problem of man. We're sinners. We fell in Adam and we're born dead spiritually in trespasses and sins, and our hearts aren't right with God. So how can I know the state of my heart? Well, when you talk to a person, what do they believe about God? Who God is and what he's like, and what do they believe about themselves? You know, do they think they can work hard enough to, you know, as the song says, we're working hard to get to heaven. Do you think you can work hard enough to get to heaven? Well, if you do, that shows me the state of your heart. You don't believe the gospel. I know, I'm telling you, listen, I know that I cannot work hard enough to earn my way into God's glory in heaven. I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I know this, my only righteousness, I can't work my way under righteousness. The best that I have to do will fall short. I'm a sinner. So I'm telling you that my only righteousness before holy God is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand in, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's what I'm telling. And that shows you the state of my heart. Now, can a man say those words and not really, or a woman, can she say those words and not really believe them? It's possible. It's very possible. That's why perseverance is an evidence of salvation. We continue in the faith. I've had people who tell me they agree with me, and then the next year they're over in a false church trying to do their best to gain their way to heaven by their works. And that's wrong. But he says those things which proceed out of the mouth, verse 18, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Verse 20, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Now that refers to the ceremonial washings of the old covenant that the Pharisees thought really did cleanse them before God. But you can, you know, and so for the disciples to eat without washing their hands ceremonially, it's not talking about eating with dirt on your hands. It's talking about eating before you've gone through the ceremonies of the washings. So to eat with unwashing hand, that doesn't defile a person. And the heart, he talks about evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. Now, when you read passages like that, let me help you to learn to think biblically. When you read passages like this, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, what do you think of? You know, back over in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, in verse 5, this was before Noah, where God called out Noah as one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to this in Genesis 6, 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, see, the thoughts of his heart, you can't think, you can't use this organ here to think, you got to use this one. So that tells you the heart involves the mind. And he says every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every day. Every day. Over in the book of Jeremiah. Let me show you this. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17. This is verse 9. Jeremiah speaking of his generation in Judah. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, he's talking about the heart of the natural man. But when you read passages like that, what do you think of? Well, many people relegate these things to just the immoral segment of society. In other words, when you read back here in Matthew 15, evil thoughts. Well, that's talking about people who have lustful thoughts. Lusting after a woman or lusting after a man. Or he say, well, here's murders, adulteries, fornication, all that. If you relegate that to the moral segment of society, you're not thinking biblically. Now, certainly, anybody who is totally immoral in their thoughts, according to man's standard of morality, that's evil. But this includes religious people, the Pharisees. Evil thoughts. It's evil to think that God could save me based on anything but his grace revealed in Christ and his righteousness alone, his blood alone. If you think God will save you based on your works or your will, that's evil because it denies the glory of God. It elevates the sinner to a position that he doesn't have. We're sinners. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after. There's none righteous. That's what we are by nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. That's why I need a new heart. I need a new understanding. I need a new mind, a new life. All of that. Murders, Christ taught them in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:20. And then he begins to show them the reality of the law, that it reaches not only what you do and what you don't do, it reaches to the thoughts. Therefore, to be angry enough to kill is murder, sinful. And he says, he talks about adultery, fornication. That could include spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication, worshiping an idol, worshiping a false god. If you think God will save you based on your works or your will, my friend, you're worshiping an idol. You're committing spiritual adultery and fornication. False witness, that's telling a false gospel. Blasphemy, that's a false. See what I'm saying? That's how we learn to think biblically. These things do not just apply to the immoral segment of society. They apply to the false religious segment of society. People who are sincerely trying to work their way under righteousness and God's favor. I'll talk more about this next time. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. What is it to believe unto righteousness? It's to believe in Christ. That's what it is. It's to believe that all of my salvation, that God conditioned all of my salvation on Christ, and Christ came and as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, fulfilled all those conditions and secured my salvation. That's what it means. Well, we'll pick up there next week. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.